So this is kind of a mixed up sermon this morning in that I have two sermons and I'm saying, God, just help me to stick to one. So pray for me. Now, we're going up for Valentine's Day, and we've started a short series as a church, us elders discussing, praying, mostly me telling them this is what we're going to do. Now, again, if it's a good idea, it's okay. If it's not, then I'll blame Herman. It was him. But we're going to just, for a few weeks, talk about relationships. And so mine is basically our spouses, because of Valentine's Day, and basically relationships in our families. Herman's going to talk about the relationships with God, and Brad's talking, or Jen is talking with parenting, relationships, and family. And so we're going to try to emphasize a bit of that these next few weeks. But what happened to me is, you know, I'm preparing for Valentine's Day, which is Thursday or Friday, up in Grand Prairie. So I got lots of thoughts, and then the Lord put it in my heart. So just bear with me. I'm reading, because, you know, we've gone through this book on emotionally healthy leaders, and it talks about ministering out of a healthy marriage, ministering, living your life out of a healthy marriage, but also out of a healthy singleness. And so I was wrestling with that a bit, and, you know, we emphasize couples, and we talk about married, unmarried, it's the same, single, you serve God, your first ambition, your first passion, your best gospel message is your marriage, but it's also your singleness, because it's your life. And so that's the theme of this morning is, I'm going to talk a little bit, first of all, about just our singleness, serving God out of our singleness, and what that means, and how to honor God with that. And so I was reading, and then I got into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and Paul writes quite a bit in that chapter, and there's some tough things, like Paul or Peter said, you know, Paul writes some tough things, and people twist them for their own advantage, and so on. There's some things that we need to look at and wrestle with, and how it all plays out. But you can go to chapter 7 if you want, of Corinthians, but I'm kind of paraphrasing, bringing it down. He basically says, the winners are the singles. Rather stay single like I am. There's reasons he's saying that. But then as you go through the chapter, he's challenging them. You're the winners. You have the best opportunity to commit yourself to the Lord and serve the Lord and do well for the Lord. You're not busy with all these other things and commitments and so on. And so it kind of gripped me. You know, there's a lot of singles in our church, and there's a lot of single women in our church. Some by age, some by choice, some by death, some by other circumstances that were beyond their control. And we want to honor them this morning. I want to speak to you singles who are here, young and old, widowed, whatever reason, about honoring God with your singleness. And so I'll get to some of my points in a moment or two. But I pray that God would just speak to us, that out of our lives, see, no matter if I'm talking about marriage and a little later on in the sermon, that's where the second message comes from, and I don't want to preach two messages, but wherever we are at, single, married, it's from our life that our message, our ministry comes forth, or whether we even have a ministry or we have a message, we live it out and through our marriedness, our singleness, not one above the other. You know, let me wax eloquently here for a minute, but I've said this before, but in the early church, the most honored were the singles. They would fill the front with the singles, single people committed to God, hearts after God, serving the Lord. It was an honored position, and it's not something we necessarily honor that much anymore, and I would just challenge all of us, married, whoever we are, to honor one another. And you say, well, how can we do that? Well, you can invite them to your homes. You can invite them to your parties. You can invite singles, widows, whoever, into your community. That's one way we can do it. That's one way we can show the value that we put on those who are single. Is that okay? Is that good? And it's not a second place. That's what it's not second rate or second place or something to be single, Paul talks about it in the, you win. You have the highest place. And I don't know how we can do it better, and we trust we'll learn and we'll share and we'll have singles talk and we'll do things, but to encourage those who are single among us to serve God out of that place in an amazing place. So whether you're serving out of married position or singleness, the goal is the same. Our greatest ambition, to do something significant. That's the greatest ambition in our marriage. Like, I just want to quote from his book for a second, but it's like, you know, when the author was talking about serving God and getting into ministry, it was always church first, and then, you know, just don't commit adultery and you're okay. And he's like, no, your marriage, your life, who you are here, whether married or single, from that place, that's your greatest ambition. That's your place where you do something great from. And that's what gives you a voice and gives you a ministry and gives you a place. So our greatest ambition has to be our singleness, if you're single. Has to be, and I'm going to talk, I got 3 points on that in a moment. But if you're married, that's our greatest ambition. An ambition is a desire to do something great. Our greatest desire to do something great out of our singleness, out of our marriage, is serving God. Our greatest passion and our greatest gospel message comes from that, comes out of us. And that's why, you know, when people in ministry fail, which they do, some elders' children fail and cause trouble. Many times they'll try to just carry on, like, I can do this, I can plow through this, the gift is intact. I've heard prophetic people say that. What I appreciated about Clem is just how down to earth and normal he spent the week in our home twice now, and I've been in ministries where you go in and say, wow, that's an amazing prophet. But what I came away from the weekend with Clem is, wow, prophecy is amazing. Wow, stewarding that and encouraging the prophetic in our church is amazing. And he left a deposit that's lasting. It didn't leave with him. You know what I mean? Thank God for the gift of the prophetic to come, but it's something that stays with us. And so when you see people in ministry or in leadership or even couple, like we're all leaders in some aspect, in some way, in different ways, but you try to just plow through and pretend everything's cool and your life, whether it's singleness or whether it's marriage, is not in a sweet place. You're wrestling with God and your ministry isn't there. We minister out of a healthy marriage. We minister out of a healthy singleness. Amen? And so that's why it's so important. That's why the enemy just comes and takes us out and condemns us and destroys and lies and steals and cheats. And so, you know, we've made jokes of it in the past. Well, when you get married, those questions, you know, by the time you're 18 to if you're 30, well, a little late there. What's happening? So finally you get married. Nicole shared this even in the church before. And okay, well, when are you having kids? And it's like, I'm only one. Well, when's the next one? Like six. And then you have 4 or 5 kids. And it's like, well, isn't it time to kind of slow down? Like, so you can never get this thing right is what I'm trying to say. What are you, rabbits or what? It's like, you know, it's like, what about those days when they had 11 kids, man? We'd fill this church with 3 families. So what I want to say is let's encourage each other in whatever state we're found. Read chapter 7. Paul says some crazy stuff, good stuff, and he's challenging the church, but it's also because of the situation they found themselves in. But he really does honor singleness, you being single. And as I said, the early church did, and they brought them forward, and it turned into some weird stuff where they had, you know, the whole nunnery, whatever that's called, and the whole separate, you know. But there is a place for living out of a healthy singleness. I know I've spoken too long when my iPad goes black and I didn't keep up and all those good things. It's my test to make sure I'm moving along. I was thinking about the singleness in this church, and there's very, very few single men, but we have a number of single women, and I want to honor the single people in this church. Is that okay? And I want to ask you all to come here and stand here. Old, young, if you're an adult, not children, 15, 16, you're welcome to come. Single, young adults, please come right now. over here. Look up here. Look up here. Look up here. Come. You count. Come. As soon as you ask that question, you already count. Thank you. Thank you for honoring this. Thank you. How old are you? 16. My goodness, you've been called to the ministry for a year already. Hallelujah. I'm talking about myself. Come and line up. You want a chair? Okay. Come. Who else? I know there's more. Are you shy or just, no. Welcome. Welcome. I really mean when I say we want to honor your singleness. And from a place of being single, of being committed to God, serving Him, loving Him, you bless us. Whether it's a widow, whether it's someone who's in different circumstances, someone who's made a choice, someone who's living single, waiting. Whatever your circumstance is, we honor you for being faithful to God. We honor you for being faithful to honor this house, to live an amazing life. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means in a moment, but it means to live holy. It means to commit your way to God. It means, you know, in the society we live in today, they don't honor this. I remember Melanie when she was in university, the students just like despising her for not drinking, for one thing, or sleeping around was the big one. What? How? What is that? And just, that's not honored in our society. But we honor you. Good circumstance, tough circumstance, wherever you're at, to be faithful to God and to serve Him with your whole heart. And so I'd like us to pray for you. Is that okay? And I'd like us to give Him a standing ovation. Yeah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And if I would like us to pray, so if you want to come and pray, but before they come, I want to say something. As a church, that church, the big church, if we've ever made you feel second class or rejected or isolated or left out or neglected, like the Bible's full of words like that, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to help us to understand. I'm going to talk about a few things that single people can do in a minute, but this from us, this way. You know, when there's a party and you're not there and there's whatever, help us. And help us. Amen? You, come on up here. Yes. I see you back there. You two, get up here. What are you doing? You think you're married or something? What is this? This is for all. We're not trying to embarrass you. But I want you here. We honor you. There's mothers here. I got to look this way. What you do for your family, just getting up every day, just pushing through and with joy and bringing them. Bless you, fathers too, but mothers, get me more. Honor you. We honor you. Those of you who are young, single, keeping yourselves pure, keeping yourselves for God and for His purposes, we honor you. Those of you who've gone through difficult marriage, we honor you. Those of you who've been widowed, I pray I die first. I don't want to live without my sweetheart. I don't know what the pain can be, the loneliness can be sometimes. So would you help me pray for them? Before I keep talking and talking, come and pray. Lay hands on these single. Just ask God to keep them, to bless them, honor them, our mothers, our sisters, our families, our brothers in this house. Come. come. We need lots of prayers. Thank you. There's a whole bunch of singles over there that need prayer. Come. Don't wait for a written invitation to come and pray for somebody. Come. Pray. Father, we just pray for release of the gifts into the body that each one of these singles brings. I pray, God, you would anoint them with fresh. I pray they'd be bold in their lives and their commitment to you and to the house of God. Thank you for what they bring to this place. Thank you for the anointing on their lives. Use them, we pray. Whatever area, stage, place in life they are, Father, we invite their gifts into the body. We say, Lord, use every one of us. Every one of us, every member of the body has a purpose and an importance, Father. And I just pray that we would all step up into the gifts you've given us, that our greatest gospel message would come out of a healthy singleness, come out of a pure heart, come out of a love for God and a love for family, a love for community. So we ask that today. Bless them, Father. We praise you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Thank you, you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Seriously. Bless our mothers. Bless her.
I think Sunday should come with a warning.
Yeah, we'll put a warning. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing how many relationally, number-wise, percentage-wise, is ladies. You're faithful. And Lori and I were talking about it this morning, and I don't know what it is. Are men useless or what? I know there's many single men. I don't know where they are, if they're in other churches or what. They're playing around, sleeping around. I don't know what's going on. But I thank you, ladies, and young men and men who are here, for being faithful. When loneliness comes and when battles come, it's real. We face them together, and man, you got to step up and fight those battles. Amen. I remember when we went to South Africa for Melanie's wedding, and it was before the wedding, and Tricia, I, Rory had Melanie and PJ come and stand, but forget about PJ. He honored my daughter. He didn't care about PJ. He didn't know who he was. No, but it's true. So he had Melanie come and share, and she was just sharing her story and kind of the loneliness of moving to Canada in grade 12 and that battle, and we've talked about it here and prayed for and blessed Graydon's daughter. And remember those ceremonies we had here? God was... So anyhow, Rory had Melanie come, and she just shared some of her battle and struggle of finding friends and fitting in and going into university and the culture that's just whacked. And so Rory honored her and said, we're going to honor her. And he put big garbage cans and had the youth, because it was a student night, and there was a couple thousand or whatever number of students there that night. And he said, it's not about the money, it's about honoring, and just come and honor Melanie. And it just turned into this, and we were up front, but others were sitting in the pews. And as Melanie's sharing a bit of her wrestle with God about, is anybody going to love me, and where's my place, and her singleness, we could just hear rows and rows of young ladies weeping, weeping. And over the years in 3CI, I used to wax eloquently, and I used to shout at the guys, and it's like, what are you looking for? Like, we had hundreds of university, single, beautiful, Christian, serving God women. And I was like, what is wrong with these guys? It's like, have a coffee date, do something. I'm getting off my subject now, but it's like, just to keep yourself faithful and how God honors that and is faithful to that. And when it's not easy, and when it's lonely, and some guy comes along, and he's just loving you, and you have that pain in your heart, if that's you, to be loved. And I just want to thank you for being strong. Thank you for being honorable to God and giving him honor with your life. So, quickly, nothing's quick, but, you know, I said the greatest ambition, our greatest passion, and our greatest gospel message comes out of our singleness or out of our marriage. So wherever you're at, these are truths that can work for you. But let me just speak to the singles for a minute. Ambition is a strong desire to achieve something. The first ambition for a single Christian leader person must shift from leading a church organization or a team or investing in a whatever, and it must shift to investing in a healthy single life. And where that came from in the book, he was talking about marrieds and singles, but you know, it's just kind of like, you know, serve God, do the ministry, and don't commit adultery. That's what's expected. No. We turn that around to where we live a healthy married life. We live a healthy single life. Our greatest desire, our greatest ambition, our greatest thing we can produce must shift to investing in a healthy single life. Let me stick to my notes. Like married couples, single leaders are called to lead out of an overflow of love. We don't lead out of a broken marriage, a tired marriage, a sad marriage. We have nothing to give to our kids or to the church or to whatever. We lead out of a marriage of love. And a singleness of love is the same. A single life has to be the overflow of love. In the case of the overflow of a love relationship with Jesus, if you're single, that relationship, giving and receiving of love from there, from close relationships, so it starts with Jesus, then through close relationships with others, and having those margins in place. It means the first item on your leadership job description, if you're single here this morning, listen to this. It means the first item on your leadership job description, your Christian discipleship job description, if you're single, is to make clear choices, is to cultivate a healthy singleness. Cultivate a healthy singleness, to make good choices, to make the right choices, to make that a priority. Number one, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. That sounds like, I don't know if that's in the gospel. It's healthy to take care of yourself. If you're single and you're living on your own, and we'll get to relationships, take care of yourself. And that relationship with Jesus is how you do that. And you make that a priority and you live out of that love relationship, then you have much to give. All of us are beggars and thieves without this relationship with Jesus. None of us have much to give to a wife or to a husband or anybody if we don't have this relationship right. But when we have that relationship and there's an overflow of healing and health and love and ambition and passion and the gospel flowing out of us, we have something to give to others. And it's the same when we're single. Here's some advice. These are not original with me. I've stolen them, but take them, throw them away. If they're good, they're my ideas. It's invest in some close friendships to do the journey with. Close friendships, male and female, couples, singles, close. Doesn't mean you're going to have 1,000 friends, but have some close friendships. Work on that, and it takes effort, and it takes putting yourself out there, and it's all those things. Whether you're a married couple or a single, you have got to work at relationships. And we've talked about it lots in this part of the neck of the woods here in Canada. Everybody just closes the door, turns on their phone or Netflix or whatever, I don't know. And we have to work at community. We have to make special Thursday night evenings to have life groups. What is that? You know, I know it's cultural, I know it's whatever, but we need to be a community coming together. And that's what I loved about Clem talking about even the prophetic. It's only worked out and lived out and fulfilled through community. It's not our word for you necessarily. It'll be worked out and lived out through his family, through his community, through God's church. And it's the same with your singleness. Bring your gifts, bring what you have, live it out through a community. Have some good relationships. Work at it. And it's, you know, you can be daunting. And I've talked to many of you, you know, married couples, Valentine's banquets, whatever. It's already kind of, the sign is on the wall. You're not welcome. God, help us as a church. Help us as life groups. Help us as people to open up our lives to those who are around us, young and old, single and married, wherever you're at, whatever your circumstance in life, rich or poor. We preach this stuff. It's so easy. It just flows off the lips. But then to actually take the phone and call someone, invite them into your circle and invite them into your home, you as a single doing it or us as married doing it, we have to do it. We have to make a choice, and we have to invite families, invite single people. And I get onto I'm on all of them, of the life groups, WhatsApps, and all the messages. My phone just says, boom, 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 boom. And I love it. Food being taken, and people caring, and people inviting to go to the science center, and just stuff happening, people involving other people in their lives. Don't ever quit doing it. And if that's what attracted you into the church, then it's on you. It's responsibility on you now to become that for someone else. You don't just sort of be like the British, you know, the joke of R.T. Kendall. And I don't want to tell the whole joke again, but they're kind of waiting on that island. Remember that story? You got the Irish and the Scottish and the British. You don't know that story? They get deserted on an island. The Scottish start a bank. The Irish start a choir. And the British are just standing. They say, what's wrong with you? No, we're waiting to be invited, or introduced, I think is what the joke is. We're waiting to be introduced. Don't be that. You invite 100 people into your house. And don't be, like, can I just be really honest? You will invite 100 people before you get one back. Trust me. Just how it is. To get invited into someone's home is not easy. Don't think it's just you. Well, nobody's invited me. Well, I've been invited 4 times into homes. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm not looking for an invitation. It's just life is busy. Life is going. So I'm saying you're not a victim. You take some steps. You invite people to your house. You make some friends. You step out, and it can be tougher when you're single. And it's, you gotta, hey, I'm here. When's the next party? Woo-hoo! It's like, who are you? No. But I love when I see the Facebook pages and that thing's going, and my phone is dinging, and it's people taking food, doing life, making plans. Do it. And that's for single or married. Practice hospitality, and I've already killed that one, so. Now, this is where the second sermon starts, and I don't want to preach a second sermon, but it's some of these, just let me name a couple of things. What would you say is a trademark of your marriage, if we talk about married people? But I'm talking to singles. What's the trademark of your singleness? If somebody was describing you to me, your marriage, your family, or your singleness, this involves all of us now, what would they say about you? Sometimes it gets a little scary to think about. Hope they're nice. What would be a hallmark, a trademark, an identity about your life or your singleness, you personally, or you as a married couple? And I don't want you to go all spiritual on me this morning. You Christians, you. Smile, it's a joke. But it's true. You know, I've shared that story before. This young couple in Evansburg, we meet them in the shop, and she's kind of got a veil on her head, but not completely, but something different, not fitting into Hutterite or Muslim or anything. Just so kind of intrigued. How are you? You know, where are you guys from? Because they just stand out on the street like anyhow. Oh, we're not of this world. We're not from here, we're not of this world. I'm just kind of like, okay, nice talking to you. I think I'll just go down the street. It's like, So when I say to you, what's the hallmark of your marriage? Don't tell me, oh, Jesus, you know, you're so heavenly minded, you're good for nothing. You know, I know you and you know me. Of course the answer is Jesus all the time. That's where we get all our identity, and that's why we get into all our problems. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Of course it must come out of that relationship with Jesus. That he is our identity, he is our hope. You know, we're not finished yet. He's still working on us. Hallelujah. But what is the hallmark of your marriage? What's your home like? What's your life like if you're single? What kind of message are you preaching to the world? When people see you, someone would come to me right now and tell me about your life, your marriage, or your singleness, you, what would they describe you as? I'm like, oh, God, hope we fooled enough people. Would they say it's loving? Would they say it's hospitable? Would they say it's a generous life, marriage, singleness? Would they say a fun? Are they look like they're enjoying themselves? Or is it, you know, I got to use the example, brother. It stuck with me. Remember? Tony Rainbow? You look like the back end of a cat. You lift up the tail. You know that thing? It's like, is that how you look? Is that what people would describe your marriage, your singleness like? Some of you take a while to get that, but I've offended some, but I don't care, because you have that look. No, we don't want that. What does the world look at us like and say, wow, that is a marriage, like, bumping. They are living life. They are serving God. They are raising amazing kids, whatever. Or in their singleness, it's just like, who is this person? Who is, like, man, the integrity and the joy and the passion they have for things of God or things of life. And just, you know, not just church and not just Jesus. I'm talking about living life. They got a hallmark. They got a trademark that's like, wow, I want to follow that. I want to be like that. I think that's what Paul is talking about. That's why he said, you know, if you're single, you're ahead of the game. You're not being taken up with all the cares of this life and kids. And, you know, I see some of you parents and we were the same. You know, all I ever said to our children for about 10 years is, hurry up, get to sleep, it's late. Hurry up, get up, we're going to be late, get up. It's like you go through about 7 years of just, that's all you say to your kids. Be quiet, wake up, go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep. We're late. We're late for meetings. Hurry up, get in the car, be quiet, get in the car, get out of the car. I've seen some of you young guys carrying these 40-pound baby carriers. It's like, I take Melanie's thing the other day, that little car carrier, and it's like, there's not even a baby in it. And it's like, what kind of rules are that, those 40-ton things that's going to save a life? The whole car will be destroyed, but that seat will be solid. What's the hallmark of your life? I got to end this thing. Let me keep moving. We have to have a soundness in our life, which means integrity in every area, not just in our money, not just in our singleness, not just in our marriage, not just in our walk with Jesus. Am I getting this together? But I'm not paying my taxes for the last 7 years. You know, whatever. Like, God wants a soundness in our lives that people look at us and say, there's a quality there. When I see an elderly couple, there's a sweetness on their life. They have the scars of battles. These wrinkles are scars. Some of those older folk who are in this meeting together today, and I won't look at any of them. Guys, I'm getting close, but guys, you don't know what it takes to get here, to be in that chair, to be sitting here. We honor that. We honor that trademark of faithfulness. Faith of our fathers, faith of our mothers living still. When I see some of you couples, and I've already talked to the singles, and I don't want to just kill this thing, but we honor you. We honor you for your faithfulness. And the husbands as well. Some of the husbands are here today with three kids, two kids. Your wives are working or ill or whatever circumstance. We honor that. There's something about your life that has a trademark on it. This is good. And we do give Jesus the credit for it. He's the one who keeps us. But we live this stuff out in our lives. May it be our loudest gospel message. Here's what I was trying to get to right here. What do you do for fun? You know how many marriage seminars and counseling and preparation for marriage I've asked? What do you do for fun? Because too many of us look like you're having no fun. Huh? I mean, we used to ski, we used to party. It's like, what do you do now? I go to life group and to church. No! I say it to the elders all the time. What qualified you to be leaders, don't lose just because you're not your leader. Yeah, and you got to come to church and be a leader and come to meetings and I'll slap you if you don't and all that. And you'll slap me. But our life is our greatest gospel message. How we live it out. What do you do for fun? Single or married? What do you do? Oh, well, we used to. I don't even remember what we used to do. And you wonder why your face looks like that. I won't say that example anymore. I'm losing my... Do you laugh? It's one thing Lori gets after me so much. What attracted her to me, and I know there's a lot to attract her, but... was laughter. And then she said, you quit laughing. Well, if you'd seen the hell that I've been through, you'd quit laughing too. But no, that's a lie of the devil. God wants, like, couples, singles, friends, laughter. And I know you carry, we have sorrow, but it's a sweet sorrow. Life is real, trust me. But we carry it lighter than those who don't have joy of God and don't have the strength of God. Let me name a couple more. Are you on the same page if you're married? Do you have an adventure? You heard Clem talking about take your wife on a holiday and you take your kids on an adventure. But don't lose the adventure of life. And I've said that to many, many young couples. Like, she's not the adventure. If she's the adventure, once you've won her, there's no more adventure. Take her on an adventure. And the greatest adventure I know is serving Jesus. Whether you're single or married, the greatest adventure you can pour your life into is kingdom life, God life, what he's calling us to, walking it out with him. I got to end. Why does this thing keep moving around? It's the devil. Is there fruit? Is there finances? Is there children? Is there church? Is there lots of good sex for the married? God created it. I've always gotten trouble. It used to be easier to preach the stuff in South Africa because it was a bigger crowd and I wasn't so close to everybody. I've told my wife many, many times on my deathbed, the last thing I'm going to do is just reach up and grab her breast. Hallelujah. It's good. Offended more people right there. I used to share the example of her fuzzy gray, terrible, saggy, baggy, terrible, fuzzy, gray pajamas. They were the passion killers. Is your marriage known for forgiveness? Is it known for crusties and edgy and scratchy? Single or married? What's the trademark of your life? What's the trademark of us together? What's the trademark of being single? God help us this morning. No matter who we are and what we've already prayed for our singles, I'd like us to pray for married. You close however you want, but I would like us to go out of this place. Come, musicians, we're done. I'm done. Not we're done. You're done. Good for nothing. I would love us to just trust God that our lives would be an example of doing great things for God. Greatest ambitions, greatest passions, passionate living. We worship, man, we worship. When we make love, we make love. When we live life, we preach the God. We do it because we're alive and God is in us and we have something to offer the world. Hallelujah. We're not victims. We're not cripples. We're not weak. We're not overcome by sin. We're not overcome by lust of the flesh and everything the world is throwing at us. We're not. Hallelujah. We sang that first song. We declare it. We make much of his name. Hallelujah. And as Brad said, our theme for our elders' time is great things God has done, and greater things are coming. We got to believe it. Great things he's done in us. And no matter where you're at in your walk with God, you've messed up, you've failed, today's the new day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life together. You forgive one another. You walk in love. You walk in joy. You walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome.